Welcome to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Our top story, the State Department responds after Chinese leader Xi Jinping echoes his opposition to Taiwan's independence. That's as the Chinese regime leverages a trade deal for policy shift. A former aide to a German lawmaker is sentenced to nearly 5 years in prison. He's convicted of helping Beijing spy on the European Parliament and Chinese dissidents for over 20 years.
This has been the most serious case of Chinese espionage in Germany to date.
A $6.9 billion crypto scam, two guilty pleas, and one of the biggest money laundering busts in UK history. A Chinese woman behind a global crypto scam that defrauded over 128,000 people is now facing justice in London. The real-life story of getting used and abandoned by the Chinese regime. No banks, no stocks, no service. A Chinese top hacker at large reveals the power of U.S. sanctions and the truth about his challenges under them. And different virus, similar strict measures. COVID-era policy reappearing on Chinese streets after new cases of a mosquito-borne virus surged into the thousands. Is Chinese leader Xi Jinping trying to shift Washington's Taiwan policy? Xi stated Tuesday that he's against Taiwanese independence. He made the remark at an event marking the 76th anniversary of the founding of the Chinese regime. This comes after the Wall Street Journal reported that Xi is trying to press President Trump to formally oppose Taiwan's independence, and he may have leverage. That's because Washington is eager to make a trade deal with Beijing. Following the report, Taiwan's foreign ministry confirmed Washington isn't changing its policy on the island.
In fact, the United States has already made relevant statements on this point, mainly stating that its position on Taiwan remains unchanged and it opposes any unilateral changes to the status quo. In addition, China's action continues to be the single greatest threat to peace and stability in the Taiwan Strait.
The Taiwan Strait separates Taiwan from mainland China. Beijing has been regularly deploying military jets to fly near the island. The Chinese Communist Party sees Taiwan as part of its territory and has vowed to take it under control by force if necessary. That's despite never having ruled it. The U.S. acknowledges Beijing's stance toward Taiwan, but does not endorse it. Washington maintains official relations with Beijing, though it sells weapons to Taiwan so it can defend itself. President Trump has said several times that China won't invade Taiwan while he remains in office. The recent remark from U.S. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick has sparked concerns on America's defense commitment to Taiwan. Lutnick suggested that instead of relying on Taiwan to make most of America's advanced semiconductors, Taiwan's microchip production capacity should be split 50-50 between the U.S. and Taiwan.
So the idea that I pitched them was, let's get to 50-50. We're producing half, and you're producing half.
Taiwan's semiconductor industry is known as the Silicon Shield. The idea is that the microchips that Taiwan makes are so vital for U.S. security that Washington would be compelled to protect the island. Lutnick said his goal is to produce enough microchips here at home to fulfill 40% of U.S. demand by the end of Trump's term. The shift would require $500 billion investment dollars. Analysts say the U.S. wants control over key supply chains, especially the chip industry. But Taiwan plays an important role in geopolitical competition, so the U.S. can't ignore the island's security. To respond to the reports about Washington's Taiwan policy, the U.S. State Department says that the U.S. position on Taiwan has not changed, adding it still adheres to the One China policy, which is based on the Taiwan Relations Act, as well as the three U.S.-China joint communiques, and the six assurances to Taiwan. All of these exist to safeguard the status quo. The U.S. is closing a loophole that allows China to obtain American technology to advance its own military. The Commerce Department published a new rule on Monday preventing American companies from exporting technology to subsidiaries of companies that have been blacklisted. In the past, once the U.S. sanctioned a Chinese company and subjected them to export controls, blacklisted companies often went on to open subsidiaries and use those to obtain U.S. technology. The new move aims to close that loophole. Chinese tech giant Huawei has a number of subsidiaries, making it difficult for the U.S. to completely cut off its access to American know-how. Huawei and Chinese semiconductor maker SMIC are among the latest targets. China's Commerce Ministry called the move, quote, extremely malicious. Chris McGuire, a former National Security Council official, called the rule a very needed correction. He added the change will require U.S. exporters to improve their due diligence on their buyers. A top Chinese hacker wanted by the FBI, making a confession on social media. He says life has been hard ever since the U.S. government added him to the sanctions list. That's despite him not holding any property or investments outside of China. It's because the Chinese regime can't protect him from U.S. punishments, even though Beijing is his former boss. Zhou Shuai, also known as Coldface, is on the FBI's most wanted list. The Justice Department revealed three lawsuits locking onto 12 Chinese nationals earlier in March. The lawsuits accused them of being involved with Beijing-backed cybercrimes, and Zhou played a lead role in that hacking network. The U.S. government imposed sanctions on him and his conspirators. Well, the FBI offered $2 million in rewards for anyone who can assist in his arrest. Here's the twist. Earlier this month, Zhou posted a blog on his WeChat account, China's biggest social media platform. He said everything from stock exchange services to over a dozen Chinese banks and even WeChat's own Cash App have all frozen or terminated his accounts. Some banks asked him to close his accounts with them. That's because all of those financial institutes are members of SWIFT, the globe's leading system for international bank transactions. And the Office of Foreign Assets Control under the U.S. Treasury Department makes sure SWIFT gets notified when the U.S. sanctions individuals like Zhou. He says U.S. sanctions reached him in mere hours, and he quickly realized he was cut off from most banking services. He filed a lawsuit against all the institutes that denied him service. But 6 months later, nothing has changed. Now, even his blog post was scrubbed from the web after overseas media outlets reported on his experience. Tensions between the East and West are heating up. The Chinese Communist Party has been aggressively developing its military and equipment in recent years, posing a global threat. Now, the Trump administration is accelerating military reforms to counter America's greatest adversary. On Tuesday, President Trump addressed the nation's top generals and admirals from around the world in Quantico, Virginia. He says he's putting an end to political correctness in the military.
The apparatus of our country was not set up for merit. It was set up for political correctness. And you can never be great if you're going to do that. And we're going to be greater than we ever were before. We're bringing back a focus on fitness, ability, character, and strength. And that's because the purposes of American military is not to protect anyone's feelings. It's to protect our republic. And it's the republic that we dearly love. It's to protect our country. We will not be politically correct when it comes to defending American freedom, and we will be a fighting and winning machine. We want to fight, we want to win, and we want to fight as little as possible.
Trump outlined plans for the military, including a $1 trillion budget in 2026, the most in the nation's history, building the first ever sixth-generation fighter jet, expanding the U.S. Navy by at least 19 ships next year, and raising the pay of every service member by 3.8%. The president promised to military leaders that he has their back 100%, and they can count on him to keep the U.S. out of wars. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth also had a strong message to military leaders.
Standards must be uniform, gender neutral, and high. If not, they're not standards. They're just suggestions. Suggestions that get our sons and daughters killed. When it comes to combat arms units, and there are many different stripes across our joint force, the era of politically correct, overly sensitive, don't hurt anyone's feelings leadership ends right now.
Defense Secretary said that for too long, the military promoted leaders for the wrong reasons, based on their race, gender, and other so-called historic firsts. But that ends with the Trump administration. Hegseth criticized overweight troops and generals, saying they are unacceptable and create a bad look. He said that from now on, service members will have to meet height and weight requirements and take fitness tests twice a year. The secretary also said no to beards, long hair, and superficial individual expressions. Hegseth had a message to military leaders: those who disagree with the new policies should resign. Next, southern China's Guangdong province is battling a months-long mosquito-borne virus outbreak. It's called chikungunya. Social media videos reveal strict COVID-era measures are being brought back to China's streets. Many residential compounds are locked down, and residents are complaining about their having their movements restricted. The city of Jiangmen appears to be worst off. Official reports documented over 3,000 new virus cases within a week. Authorities sounded a level 3 public health incident alert days ago and deployed public health personnel to the city. Many parks and residential compounds are under lockdown. Some residents posted online asking what the need for lockdown is when the virus does not have human-to-human transmission. Guangdong is among the most populous provinces in China. Now, some streets have been emptied by authorities as they spray for mosquitoes on mass scale. The city claims its goal is to create zero mosquito spaces. The Chinese regime also used identical slogans like zero COVID 5 years ago. Those tactics turned into draconian measures that violated Chinese people's ability to move freely. Chikungunya is spread via mosquito bites. Patients normally suffer days of joint and muscle pain or fever. Last month, the U.S. CDC issued a level 2 travel alert for Guangdong, suggesting U.S. citizens take precautions when traveling there. A deadly gas leak in China's Hebei city has left at least 5 workers dead and 3 injured. Sulfuric acid overflowed at a chemical plant Monday morning, local time. Officials say the acid spilled into a septic tank, triggering a release of toxic gas. Residents reported a strong foul odor lingering in the air. Authorities have now contained the leak and the plant has been shut down. Even before the incident, the plant had a troubled history. In 2018, massive amounts of released wastewater killed over 280,000 pounds of fish, devastating nearby fish farms. And in 2022, gas leaks were reported due to faulty equipment. The facility is located within a residential area. Congressional Democrats are not backing down on their health care and budget demands, raising the possibility of a government shutdown at midnight. NTD's Melina Weisskopf has the update.
Democrats continue to demand Republicans to include in the short-term funding bill a provision to extend Obamacare tax subsidies. They say this is the only way Republicans will get their votes to keep the government open. Listen.
We have very large differences on health care and on their ability to undo whatever budget we agree to through rescissions and through impoundment.
So what Schumer is trying to do here is essentially to use this shutdown as leverage to get assurances from Republicans that whatever budget they agree to for next year, Republicans won't then try to undermine later by using more pocket rescissions packages to go back and cut from that agreed upon 2026 budget. Now, remember, the Republican-controlled House already passed a short-term extension of government funding to keep the lights on through November, but it failed in the Senate because of lack of Democrat support. So Republicans say there's nothing to negotiate on their bill because it's simply meant to extend the government funding levels that both Democrats and Republicans already agreed to last year. Basically, the White House meeting did nothing to prevent the possibility of a shutdown.
If they want to talk about how to fix American health care policy, let's do it. The Speaker would love to do it. The Senate Majority Leader would love to do it. Let's work on it together, but let's do it in the context of an open government that's providing essential services to the American people. That's all that we're proposing to do, and the fact that they refuse to do that shows how unreasonable their position is. I think we're headed to a shutdown.
So what happens if the federal government shuts down? It's actually a partial shutdown where some essential services are kept. Mail service will continue to run. Social security checks will still go out. Essential workers like FBI investigators, CIA officials, among others, will stay on duty. Though those who are still going to work while the government shut down won't get paid until Congress Act, but then those who are furloughed during the shutdown will get back pay for the time that they were out. Though a government shutdown this time will have more consequences than previous ones. That's because the Trump administration directed agencies to use this opportunity to get a better understanding of how they can reduce the federal workforce permanently to further the administration's plans of slashing the overall size of the federal workforce. Trump this morning was asked how many federal workers he plans to lay off. Here's what he said.
Well, we may do a lot, and that's only because of the Democrats. And as you know, they wanted to be able to take care of people that have come into our country illegally, and no system can handle that.
But for the time being, Republicans are pinning their hopes on the fact that Democrats might cave and let go of their demands like they did back in March. Reporting from Washington, D.C., Melina Weisskopf, NTD News.
Parts of the federal government could shut down tonight. That's due to a funding impasse centered on the cost of health care. Here's a look at how a shutdown might affect you.
In a shutdown, non-essential federal employees face furloughs. For Americans, that might affect customer service, paperwork, national parks, food inspections, and more. The White House is threatening to fire some workers. Social Security payments will continue, but the timing could be confusing. Today, an unrelated executive order is ending paper government checks. Meanwhile, a shutdown could cause travel delays.
Planes will take off, but it's going to be a massive strain on the system.
Some experts worry a government closure could hurt the economy. It also could delay the release of economic reports crucial to investors and the Federal Reserve.
This will be a momentous week for the U.S. economy and the financial markets.
Moving on to a landmark Chinese espionage case that's souring China-Europe relations. A former assistant to a German lawmaker was sentenced on Tuesday to nearly 5 years behind bars. He acted as Beijing's eyes in Europe for over 20 years, collecting intel on Chinese dissidents and information from inside the European Parliament. NTD's Flora Hua has more on the story.
Jian Guo is slated to spend the next 4 years and 9 months in prison as punishment for decades of convicted spy activity for Beijing.
This has been the most serious case of Chinese espionage in Germany to date. The court found that the defendant had been working for the Chinese Secret Service in the Federal Republic of Germany for almost 20 years and had become extensively involved in Chinese intelligence efforts here in Germany.
He was born in China, but later became a naturalized German citizen. What's catching public attention is the identity of his old employer, a former European Parliament member and now a German lawmaker who represents the opposition AfD party. According to court documents, from 2019 until getting his arrest in 2024, Guo used his role to leak more than 500 sensitive documents linked to the EU and its political parties to China. Besides that, Guo also helped Beijing suppress Chinese dissidents and faith groups in Europe. That's on top of collecting personal data on over 25,000 Chinese dissidents. According to the Epoch Times, they floated the idea to push a EU Parliament resolution last year against the spiritual meditation practice Falun Gong. Those details were part of an intercepted conversation between Guo and a Chinese intelligence officer. The faith group Falun Gong has been brutally persecuted in China since 1999. Guo appeared at his sentencing hearing alongside his female co-defendant, identified as Ya Chi X.
Finally, together with his co-defendant, Ms. X, he collected information about transports and flights departing from Halle-Leipzig Airport, in particular those involving military transport, and he also collected and passed on information about individuals working in the arms industry.
X is sentenced to 1 year and 9 months in prison. Flora Hua, NTD News.
Coming up, a $6.9 billion crypto scam, two guilty pleas, and one of the biggest money laundering busts in UK history. A Chinese woman behind a global crypto scam that defrauded over 128,000 people now faces justice in London. And the Trump administration is moving to cut federal funding to Harvard, citing failure to stop anti-Semitic harassment. That and more in just a minute here on China in Focus. Welcome back to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. In London, two people have been convicted of money laundering in a $7 billion fraud scheme. Prosecutors say the ringleader, a Chinese woman, defrauded 130,000 people, converted the money to Bitcoin, and then fled from China to Britain. NTD's international correspondent Malcolm Hudson has more.
Two people have pleaded guilty in a London court to money laundering offences in what is believed to be one of the world's biggest cryptocurrency scams. It's part of an investigation where British police seized virtual wallets holding more than 61,000 Bitcoin, which is currently worth $6.9 billion. Chinese national Qian Zumin, who is also known as Zhang Yadi, pleaded guilty on Monday to acquiring and possessing criminal property. And on Tuesday, Malaysian national Hock Seng Ling pleaded guilty to transferring criminal property. The two were arrested in April last year when British police seized assets, including encrypted devices, cash, gold, and more cryptocurrency. Police said the cryptocurrency seizure follows a seven-year ongoing investigation into international money laundering. Investigators said that between 2014 and 2017, Qian defrauded more than 128,000 victims through a large-scale fraud scheme in China. Her company sold investment products and promised returns of up to 300%, but police said Qian took the money and converted it into Bitcoin, and that in 2018, she fled China using fake documents and entered the UK. Police added that Qian attempted to launder the proceeds by purchasing property with the help of Jian Wen in September 2018. Wen, a former restaurant worker, was sentenced last year to 6 years and 8 months for her role in the scheme. Wen was found with Bitcoin wallets worth more than $2.6 billion, and police said she had acted as a front person for Qian. Qian and Ling will be sentenced in November. Deputy Chief Crown Prosecutor Robin Wales said, "Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies are increasingly being used by organized criminals to disguise and transfer assets." London Metropolitan Police said this is one of the largest money laundering cases in UK history and among the highest value cryptocurrency cases globally. British Security Minister Dan Jarvis said the UK will never be a safe haven for criminals and their ill-gotten gains. Malcolm Hudson, NTD News.
The Trump administration is moving to block Harvard University from receiving federal funding, citing alleged civil rights violations. The Department of Health and Human Services says Harvard failed to address anti-Semitic harassment on campus following last year's Hamas terror attack on Israel. The department says that violated Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. HHS has referred the university for formal administrative proceedings, which could result in the loss of funding or government-wide blocks on federal contracts. Officials say this step ensures taxpayer dollars are protected and compliance is enforced. A federal judge ruled earlier this year that the Trump administration had violated the First Amendment. The court said Harvard was already taking steps to address concerns and protect free speech rights on campus. That's all for today's China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. If you have any feedback on the show or have something you'd like to see us cover, send us an email at chinainfocus@ntd.com. We'd love to hear from you. Round-the-clock original news coverage, visit us at ntd.com or download our NTD app. Thanks for watching. See you tomorrow.